the narrator, washed up kid from a sitcom.
Yeah, you could think of, sort of a Michael J. Fox figure, or what's that guy who played Doogie Howser? Kind of lovable, for having been a teen star, and everyone remembers him pretty fondly, but takes him completely lightly. He's not seen as a working actor, or seen as a kind of the world's youngest has-been.
He does know his place, and he doesn't have some kind of exaggerated version of who he
Yeah,
is.
no, he's I mean, I guess one of his attractive qualities is his, in a way, his modesty. He knows a real actor when he sees one, like Marlon Brando, and he knows he's not that. He figures he's pretty charming, but he only surmises this by the fact that people tend to want to have him around. He's not really in love with himself.
And he knows when he's invited just what kind of level of.
Sure, exactly. He's figured out what people find him useful for. He's a seat filler.
And a very attractive one.
Yeah.
And he's, I mean, I think he's a little hard on himself, actually. I think he's a better and more interesting person than he gives himself credit for.
Probably that's true. And he's also, not to give too much away, but he's a more engaged actor than he realizes. He's still got a performance or two in him.
The most bizarre aspect of the book, I think, other than the fact that the central character's girlfriend is an astronaut trapped in space, is the tiger. And explain what the tiger is.
Well, I can't. I don't have
In general terms.
the power to clear this up for you, but the tiger is a kind of problem in New York City in my book. There's this thing that everyone is pretty sure is a giant escaped tiger that is wrecking buildings and undermining foundations and ruining stores, and it seems to evade capture, and it works by night, and people become inured enough to this that it's seen as a minor inconvenience. They start just planning their subway commute around the tiger's latest destruction, and checking a website called Tiger Watch to see if they need to take a cab to work this morning or whatever. But
And also a minor celebrity.
yeah, people are kind of infatuated with the tiger too. Absolutely. Well, this is a city of celebrities, of real and unreal celebrities. So the tiger does become one.
That issue of celebrity and who is somebody and what something is goes virtual too, because there's a virtual sort of a Second Life-ish kind of world.
Yeah, this is definitely a book about the way virtuality has become interpenetrated into daily life. I mean, most simply, forget, Second Life, which is re relatively esoteric. A lot of these characters end up on eBay in the book, and there it is. It's something we take for granted now, but it's a virtual store. It's this imaginary place that everyone goes and buys things in. And so I wanted to try to do something with that, and by exaggerating it or making it a little bit ludicrous, point a big finger at the fact that without really anyone completely fathoming what it means or what the implications are, we are living in with one foot in a virtual space now.
How do you explain the plot of the book? Because I kind of got to the end and went, I had a lot of fun, but I damned if I can actually tell someone what it was about, or
That's
is
good.
it
I like
you
that.
like
It should be impossible to paraphrase, and I found it so myself. I wanted to capture the texture of, as crazy as the book is and full of imaginary stuff, I also really wanted it to take the rhythm of a bunch of friends hanging out and be a representation of what it's like to have a circle of eccentric friends and spend time in their company and have new obsessions come up each time you see them. And so, in some ways I compare the plot of the book to a season of a situation comedy. It's kind of the same every time these guys get together, but somehow different too. It's like watching Seinfeld.
So I was trying to add up and trying to figure out what is Jonathan trying to say?
Well, again, I only write the things. I can't be saddled with interpreting them myself. But it's definitely a story about the interpenetration of unreality into daily life. And I'm a believer that that's the case. I don't think that I'm writing about. I don't think I'm addressing a problem, or let alone answering it. I'm just trying to frame a description of what I think, you know, late capitalism, as they call it, and the virtual life and the density of our great cities and all sorts of other things have done, you know, the contemporary media reality have done to consciousness itself, to what it's like to walk around this planet.
And why chronic?
Yeah, chronic, it names the condition of something that's, you know, ailing, needs diagnosis, but it also, whatever's wrong isn't going to go away any too quickly. And it also describes, you know, it has the word chronos in it. It suggests the idea of something stuck in time, repeating.
The book is Chronic City. I've been speaking with the author, Jonathan Lethem, and Chronic City is published by Doubleday.